Fry Guy. How we doing?
Hey, babe.
How you doing?
Good, Dad. Yeah. How are you?
Good. Yeah, good. We had this like our 19th time just today rescheduling this, actually. So it was like, you know, I was going to be like, oh, I've been playing phone tag. It's no phone tag at all. It's literally just me rescheduling this 9 times for the same day. So what's lucky is that you're in the past, you know, like you're like, I'm in the future, you're in the past. And so you're like, dude, it's only 9 o'clock for me. I got the whole day ahead of me. I'm like, oh, great. This is awesome.
Okay. I was wondering where you're going with that.
So helpful.
Some Back to the Future shit to me. I was like, wait.
Yeah. Just corny.
Great Scott.
Corny time zone jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe I'm in the future, man. You never know.
You never know, dude. You never know. Yeah.
Well, like I told you, you had a good excuse, right? And are you saying anything about this?
Oh yeah. No, hush. Nothing's hush.
You took daddy photos.
Right? Yeah. Well, we took like my daughter was getting her. It was like a photo shoot for like newborns, right. Which is it's just funny. It's like in the intersection of like it's. I guess I get weirded out by like things that are overly curated, and that's like. You know what I mean? Like when you see stuff on Instagram,
like
you're like,
charcuterie board?
Well, it's edible that this is a separate category, but like things that are overly staged, you know, like, yes. I see a lot on, and again, I think it just boils down to like the perfectionism on social media. So like when I post that picture of my daughter, like again, it's not the same, but like maybe she was like crying for an hour and then we just got that one picture and she went back to crying for an hour. And it's like, yeah, but you didn't see any of the other things. So sometimes like things that are overly curated kind of just give me like a little itch. But then you look back and you're like, ah, she's like mega, mega cute. And like, that's going to be memories forever. So it's like a family photo where you're like, you look at a family photo and you're like, wow, look at this perfect family. And they were just like ripping each other's heads off like 1 minute before, but yeah, whatever. Yeah.
I was going to say, we've been doing it since the dawn of time. You think Mona Lisa looked like that the whole time she's getting painted?
Smoking.
There were bathroom breaks. Yeah. Smoking hot shit. Yeah.
Killer stash. Jesus Christ.
Those eyes, you can't lose them.
What have you been up to today? What are you doing? You did a jail workout. What else do you do?
Yeah, dude, I fucking did your workout. Did it today was quads day. Starting with the hamstrings, though, which you really been murdering my hamstrings. So when they're popping out my ass, you're going to be the first to get my thank you card. Yeah. But I had a business meeting in the morning and then worked out. And then that's pretty much it. I had some Quest Ranch chips. So it's been a riveting day.
Just smell that. Just like pouring into the mic.
It's so funny because like for me, I'm like, my reek right now, right? Like I am ranch, right? Thank God technology is not caught up because I feel self-conscious now and you can't even smell my breath.
No, I can't.
Right. Just wait till those features come out.
Yeah. I mean, you should like, feel self-conscious already. Cause this is going up on YouTube and you decided to like,
of course,
rock a Dodgers hat, like on this podcast. No, so.
Hey, you think you have anxiety? I live and breathe it.
I've looked like me my whole life. I have anxiety all the time. Yeah.
I checked twice before walking out my front door. Are you kidding me?
Let's do the podcast thing, you know, where you do like your thing where like you're like, hey, this is how I got into fitness help my listeners get a little bit of not too much though, a little bit of a taste for who you are and just kind of how you got into this whole fitness thing.
Well, thank you for the setup. Thanks for the layout. Well, my name is Ryan Kasem. I'm a personal trainer, nutrition coach, strength coach, whatever the fuck you want to call us all now these days. I focus on mindset, metabolic health, and manner of living. So basically, like, my goal is to get you to live your life sooner and not have any regrets when it comes to your health, fitness, nutrition, and how you've been living your life. Born and raised East Coast, just like you. I'm not too far from Jersey. I was born in Connecticut. Huge mama's boy. Big family guy. Love dogs, just like you. I see Gunner in the background right there. And that's how you know I've been struck in your Instagram stories for a bit now where I fucking know your dogs. But yeah, I think that's a good place to start. And if we want to take a deeper dive into my stuff, we can. But I think that's a good shout out.
Was it one of the several cliche buckets of I wanted to get chicks or I was playing sports or I was overweight as a younger person and I was looking to get in shape? Like, what was it for you that kind of made you gravitate towards this?
Well, that's a great question. At first it was definitely chicks. Like my dad first started taking me to the gym cause I like all the seventh grade kids are like, hey, protein powder, biceps, and they
was your dad like cliche, like older dude in the gym with like a cutoff where it's like all the way down to his waist, but like, you know, always does, you know, he does like the sup nod to like everyone at the gym, and he's like, hey, tell the family I said hi, you know, like, is he that guy? Like every gym has one of these guys that's like, he's the mayor, you know?
Like, I fucking wish. My dad was, my dad is pretty reserved, but he was, dude, like, I look back now, my dad is fucking jacked when I was younger. Like he had like gorilla chest, right? Where it's just like
a real dad bod, 80s dad bod,
real dad, strong boobs. I'm like, man. So he was like the guy that he knew everybody, cause he would like talk to everybody one-on-one. He'd be like, this is my son. And he would just like walk me through like machines and stuff like that. And then after that, I'd like go in the corner, just fucking do curls. Cause I was just like, this is what I'm here for. But I really got into fitness through sports. So I had the absolute luck and honor of, you know, when I started my football program, the strength coach actually knew like my grandfather, my family. So as soon as he saw me, he kind of like pulled me from the crowd and literally like from that day started training me in addition to the football workouts. And he didn't ask for anything in return. Always just gave, kicked my ass, taught me about, he would be handing me like, you know, peer reviewed articles when I was 14 year old about nutrition timing, all these things, like, a great mentor from the beginning. And then after every workout that he would do with me, he'd hand me an orange and he'd be like, how was that for an old man workout? You know, so shout out Carl Bodner. But he really like changed my whole philosophy, my whole mindset. And the most amazing quote that sticks with me to this day is he told me, he's like, it's one thing to be nice, it's another thing to be kind. So I had the absolute, I think the best introduction to health and fitness that anybody could ever have. And it allowed me from day one to be like, well, I want to do that for others because this guy's like selflessly giving me his time day in, day out. I have a whole fucking binder, like hundreds of workouts he made for me to do on my own. So like, That was really my catalyst into like my why. So sports was a big one, and he was a big one.
I'm gonna share a little bit on this of a similar on my end. I want to hear from you if it was similar for you. So I would agree. I had really, really lucky to have the mentor that I did and be in the environment that I was in. I would say that there's like you, so many good lessons I learned that have shaped me and that still are in me. But the actual nuts and bolts of a lot of what I was teaching, ultimately learning at first and then ultimately passing on and teaching, was a lot of things I ultimately had to unlearn, which I think is, I'd rather it be that way. So my mentor was an world powerlifting champion, hardest working guy I've ever seen in my entire life, up every day, 4 o'clock, you know, and so, some of the grind culture was certainly in him, but he caught me. I caught that wave at a time where it was very productive. I was a little bit lost. And so anyway, I'm really grateful for the work ethic that was instilled in me, for the people skills that were instilled in me, maybe even some of the business side of like, I wasn't a serious person in my life until I had met him, but the nuts and bolts of like what I was doing, like ultimately I had to unravel a lot. Do you feel similarly where you feel like it shaped you more as like who you'd be or like what you wanted to do and the kind of person you wanted to be, but that you'll look back and you're like, yeah, we like, you know, maybe we did some dumb shit along the way too.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's always room for dumb shit whatever point you're in life, you know. But I would say for that specific situation, he was 65 years old, right? So it's not like he was into hypertrophy or anything like that. He was more into like, let's get your body moving, let's get you moving in different planes of motion, you know, let's get you ready for football, right? Which is what I was training for. So it wasn't that I had to unlearn anything from him. It's just that I had so much more to learn about everything else in terms of goals. Because like when I went to college, I was still, we would do like 3 full body workouts a week, right? And that was kind of like my setup. So when I went to college, I was still doing that. But then I was like, well, I really want to build muscle now. I'm not playing sports anymore. Like that's kind of my focus. So I had to like learn more. And then through doing that, I learned a more dumb shit, like major bro split stuff. This is like major like bodybuilding.com days and like looking at these workouts that they would have you do. And And even when I became personal trainer, like I was just listening to the dumbest advice. Like there's one guy who was just super jacked in the gym. He was just like, bro, if you want to put on muscle, you got to drink olive oil. And I'm like, okay. 2 tablespoons in my protein shake. Great. Shit my pants later.
Oh, 100% diarrhea. Immediate diarrhea.
Yep. So it's funny. So my beginning was amazing. It was a beginning, right? And it was my foundation. And I just had so much more to learn and so many more mistakes to make on my own. And then it was really probably until I got back and I found Jordan Sia, our mentor. And that's really what sort of connected everything for me from like give, you know, different types of workouts, different types of styles, how to program for your ideal client, like the bullshit of stuff, the actual factual stuff. So it was just, I had so much more to learn rather than and unlearn through my own experience. And his foundation was actually great foundation.
Yeah, I'm going to, people know that both you and I I've been touched by, have been touched by Mr. Syatt. But like, I'll give an example. Literally, I think 2 days ago, him and I have been going back and forth because we just had a baby and they just got a dog. Mm-hmm. We're really big on dog training. I've had a lot of questions about just like baby stuff. And then we were talking about business and I had a question about email or whatever. And he was like, hey, give me a call. You know what I mean? They spent like 45 minutes on the phone with me. And I'm going to start by, this is a total aside, but like Jordan spoke at something, the Real Coaches Summit last year. And so he was talking about like the importance of like just being a good coach, like focusing on being a good person and a good coach and doing well for your clients, but also like work-life balance and like doing what feels natural to you and not necessarily getting sucked into the grind culture. But that I had to raise my hand. I was like, yeah, I appreciate that sentiment from you, but like you also didn't sleep, eat, or train for 3 years training Gary. Yeah. And right. Totally, what is the word that people like to use? Leveraged, like, or like, like hedged, you know, like traded away, kind of turned down some of those knobs. I'm going to throw it to you, which is like, did you have a time where you have gone to extreme with stuff? Could it be work? Could be fitness? Could be nutrition? Could be fat loss? Could be muscle gain? Could be, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Where are you? Okay, I won't even lead you. I won't make it a leading question. And if you did have that experience, like, what did you take from it, either negatively or positively?
Yeah, great question. And one I like that you called Jordan out on that, because it's like, dude, we all saw you grind your face.
Yeah, but like, he's funny. He's just I'm like, yes, but you all, I didn't want him to get away with the fact that like he wasn't coming off as like he was the hardest worker in the room. I'm like, you're right. Also the hardest worker I know, you know? So like,
1,000%. Yeah, okay, yeah. 1,000%. And for me, it was, I went way too hard into my physical health and completely neglected my mental health. So my extreme was exercise. So And what I mean by that, it's like, I looked fucking amazing, dude. Like, I looked amazing. Great. I had a great ass. I had great biceps. Like,
great tush.
Great coolie. But I completely neglected my mental health. Like, I was trying to bench press away my feelings. I was trying to outwork my anxiety. And I was literally having panic attacks in the gym. And I thought something's wrong with my heart. I thought I was dying, dude. Like, that's how much I was unaware of my own self, my own mental health, my own body literally having a physical reaction because I had neglected so many mental things in my life. So that was my extreme, was that I went all in on the physical aspect and completely neglected my mental health. And that led me to going into therapy, and it allowed me to create more of a balance with my mental health and my physical health, to the point where it improved my body image. It improved my relationship with food, improved my, I have a routine now for my mental health. I think so many people have a routine. Like, people always think like, oh, lower body Monday, Tuesday is going to be upper body. It's like, what the fuck are you doing what's your mental health routine? Right? Like, when are you taking a time to be with yourself? When are you like unwinding? When are you actually thinking about what the day you just experienced look like? Right? Are you journaling, meditating, whatever it might be, going for a walk? That's hot news right now on the internet. Right?
Hot news.
So that was my extreme, was I went all in physical health, completely neglected my mental health. And, you know, I paid the price for it, but also at the same time, I'm glad I did, because it was my big moment in life that really turned things around for me.
One of the questions I had written down was things people can do to improve their relationship with their body and fitness. And I think you'd agree that it's like, all right, taking care of your mental health too. What are some, I was like, hey, I'm going to read that sentence and I'm going to do one of those like word association where I'm just like jotting down immediately stuff that comes to mind. So when I say like, hey, what are things people can do to improve their relationship with their body and fitness? What are some of those? We'll go back and forth. I won't put you entirely on the spot, but like some of those things that, that you feel like are big pillars that are important for people.
Yeah. Well, I'll speak from personal as well. For me, it was, I would take photos of my body every day and pick it apart. Right. So I think if you're trying to build, if we're talking one thing you do for your body image, if you're trying to build a better body image, then you can't keep looking at your body as something that just loses weight, gains fat, loses fat, has muscle, doesn't have muscle. Right. For me, it was that harsh reality that whenever I take photos, I'd be like, disgusting, like gross, like, you know, I only have
an 8-pack, gross.
That's right. There's only one vein going downtown. What is this? So yeah, so for one thing I would say for body image is like, instead of dissecting and picking a certain part that you don't like about your body, right? Let's reframe that. For instance, big thing for people is waist, right? Like, stop. Like, when you look at your stomach, like, say something positive that has nothing to do with fat loss, weight gain, right? Like, hey, stomach, thank you for digesting that massive amount of food I had earlier, or thank you for allowing me to not shit my pants during work today because you did a great job processing, right? Or like, you know, for a lot of women, like, they always talk about their triceps, right? Like, my mom used to call it bat wings, right? And looking at your arms and being like, thank you for allowing me to pick up my child today, right? Thank you for allowing me to bring in my groceries, right? So I think that's one thing that helped me a ton, that made, I don't want to say an immediate impact, but really started to reframe how I looked at my body and stopped treating it as just like something that is a model, or like, you know, a mannequin in a store, right? Like, I'm not looking at it as just like for looks. I'm looking at it for performance and what it does for me from a day-to-day standpoint.
I want to get your thoughts on this. I feel like at the core of what you're saying is like appreciating what your body can do. And it can go all the way down to the granular little things like you just said. And I don't mean little like insignificant, but like little bodily function stuff. Mm-hmm. But it can also be, you know, your body is a means to do other things that make you happy. So like play a sport, hike a mountain, play with your kid. Like, mm-hmm. like a means. Your training is a means for the actual end, which is so that I can do XYZ thing I like. Now that's awesome because mm-hmm. I think it really gets at what should be important. What should be important is the actual like life experience that you have. Like you're probably not looking back at the end of your life, like looking at and remembering like all those good gym sessions. Like, yeah, I like my workouts on average, you know, on average, I'm fine with them. I'm pretty neutral, but like, I'm probably looking back more in aggregate of the things I was able to do because of the time I spent in the gym and that's cool and all. But what I've been finding is that a lot of people don't have those things. And so the gym becomes that thing because they're like, oh, I don't really necessarily have any physical hobbies. Not a physical hobby, like you're fucking rock climbing or fucking climbing a tree or something. You got to climb Everest. Like, but like a hobby that kind of in some degree depends on your ability to stay healthy. And so the gym becomes that thing, which is awesome, by the way, because if you don't have anything physical, then maybe you're not exercising, and then you find the gym, and that's a fantastic thing. But you the gym becomes the means and the end, or the gym becomes the means and your body becomes the end of aesthetically what it looks like. So I'm getting to this point. I have like pseudo known each other for a little bit of time, but like I see you and you look like, to me from the outside looking in, because we never really know, kind of more of like a well-rounded person. What I mean by that is like great culo. But you play guitar, you know, you do a little guitar, you do a little solo, you get a little, like, you got your acoustic vibe, and like, you're really good, by the way. And
thank you.
That might not be something that's like, oh, I go to the gym so I can play the guitar better. But this idea of having hobbies is something I've talked about in the podcast. Do you feel like that's something that, you know, can help people reframe what health and fitness means to them, is like getting out there and doing stuff with their body that makes them happy outside of just lifting weights?
No. No, I'm kidding.
Nah, that's a dog shit idea. It's a dog shit idea.
You're an idiot.
Don't ever say that again.
I mean, 1,000%. I think, and that's something for me, again, if we go back to like that dichotomy, that's something I always kind of had a hard time balancing, especially like when I went all in on fitness at one point, was like music or cooking or like, because it really goes down to that age old saying is like, don't make the gym your life, right? Like, don't make fat loss your life, right? Because when you do that, you corner yourself into if this is not my result, then I'm failing, right? Whereas if you have a different perspective on things you want to do, things you enjoy, but even before that, like, I have the beauty of hindsight because I part-time train geriatric patients, and I have the beauty of hindsight to see like, hey, like the gym ain't shit. Like building muscle, like that's cool and all, but like if you can't get your ass off a toilet, if you can't go for a walk outside, if you can't play golf or whatever you like to do, good fucking luck.
I don't interrupt you because that's actually a question I have down here. It's funny we didn't talk about this before, but I have lessons learned from Warren. A question that I want to talk about. And so could you give us a little, I want to hear more about this in general. I just have seen Warren on your social media, on your stories and stuff, but tell me a little bit more about training these people and the sort of perspective it's given you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have the pleasure of training geriatric patients part-time. And the perspective, like there's a few lessons. I actually wrote an article on my website about it, but there's a few lessons that I've already pulled from it. And one, there's actually this guy who I just call Coach, and he was the one that actually got, so this is actually a great question you asked, because he was actually the one that got me back into sports. So we can even say like a year or two ago, like I maybe didn't even have this exact mindset that I do now, because, you know, I was talking to him, I was like, you know, I really want to get back into sports, you know, but you know, I'm kind of scared. It's been a little bit and I'm trying to make new friends, blah, blah, blah. And he was just like, do it. And this is to give you context. He's like a 75, 80 year old guy. And I was doing like an assessment for him and he couldn't even get out of a fucking chair. Right. And that's what he told me. He's like, listen, one day, he goes, I hope this isn't you, but you might be like me and you can't even get out of a chair. So he just said, do it. Do it all. And that's all I needed to hear, dude. That's all I needed to hear. For me, that was a clicking moment where I was just like, yep, I'm doing it. I might have perceived I was getting old for sports because I'm 32 now, but fuck no, I'm not. He's like, I played softball till I was 72. I was like, let's fucking go. Thanks, Coach. So that little moment for me was such a catalyst to say, hey, like, there's more to this life than just lifting weights and all that. Like, let's apply it. And I actually changed my training from that. Like, I do more, like I do your workout program, shout out, but I also mix in athletic, you know, movements throughout the week so that I can play sports and I can hike. And that's what I was trying to get to before, where it's like, before you even maybe figure out what your hobbies are, like you should be more interested in the freedom that this can give you. Right. Because that's what it is. It's that I don't even have to freaking think about what I want to do. I can just do it knowing I have a good athletic base or good healthy base to just pursue whatever I want. That's freedom. Right. You don't even have to think about getting off the toilet. You don't have to think getting out of a diner booth. You can just go for that walk. You could just go play sports. You can just do a cooking class and not have to worry about anything. Right. And another lesson I'll say that I learned from, let's say, Warren specifically, is he's stubborn as fuck. And I mean that in the best way possible. Like, he has absolutely inspired me to just do it anyways. Like, the parts I don't show about Warren. So again, for those who don't know, Warren is a 90-year-old man who I have the pleasure of coaching 3 days a week. And when he started with me, he was bound to a scooter, right? He had broke his hip. His wife had just passed away, right? They were together for 65 years, which is like a Nicholas Sparks story itself, right? And he showed up day one, had a goal of being able to walk, and I said, let's do it, right? And I showed him things to do, and we did strength training. We slowly got him out of that scooter. Then he was on a a two-wheel walker. Then we slowly got him off the two-wheel walker. Now he's on a four-wheel walker, and now he's using a cane, and now we're able to play golf, right? Like, and that's because he did the work. He showed up every day. He goes to dialysis 3 times a week. That's the part nobody knows about. Dialysis fucking sucks. Dude, for nobody who knows, it sucks. He's in a lab for 4 to 5 hours, 3 days a week, getting blood, taking out and putting back in, right? Like, he is like the definition of, these are my cards and this is what I'm going to play with, right? And to me, like, I'm getting emotional thinking about it. That's inspiring. Like, that to me is like, I'm going to show up and do whatever I can. Getting emotional thinking about this. I'm going to show up and do whatever I can and do it as best I can, because that's just what I want. And like, his stubborn attitude, it's stubborn in the best way, right? It's stubborn in the way that I'm going to show up no matter what. It's stubborn. You tell me what to do, I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to go a little bit more. Like, he's the kind of client where I'm like, all right, let's slow down a little bit.
Yeah. He's running away from you.
He asked me on yesterday, actually. He was like, I'd like to use the treadmill. I was like, okay, let's do it together. Like, don't do it without me. You know, it's like, but like, that's his attitude. He's like, what can I do? How can I progress? Like, he's been goal oriented since day one. Like, freaking, his goal is to go to a Chargers game at SoFi Stadium and walk to the fucking game. Like, that is cool, right? And that's why for me, like, when I talk hindsight, dude, like, when I hear that someone's struggling with like, not like looking great and all that, and not to say those feelings aren't validated, but when you can see end picture, none of that shit fucking matters, dude. It doesn't matter. It matters like when you start thinking like end goal life, and like when your goal is just to go to a football game and walk to the football game, be able to sit, be able to stand, not be a burden to your kids who are taking you to that game. That is fucking inspiring. Like, that is the ideal way to live, to work, and eventually, like, the end goal for all of us, because we're all heading there, and we always forget about it because we're young, right? We have youth. We're not experiencing these problems right now. But when you see it, and then when you see it put into action, and then you see some sort of progress, like, that's why I'm grateful my original mentor was a 65-year-old man who was kicking my ass every workout. Right. Like, and I'm able to apply that now to a 90-year-old, and he's showing me another lesson. Right. So like I said, dude, I cannot overemphasize the lessons. And like, when we talk about wealth and being rich, like, that to me is fucking, like, I am the richest fucking guy in the world because I have this hindsight. I can see this, and I know now what to work for, what to live for right now. And what I need to appreciate right now, right? Like I said, the guy's wife died. They were together for 65 years. I'm 32. I'm still trying to find a lady. Right? So it's like, for me, it's like, yeah, damn, or if I want that, I'm going to be alive to a fucking 100, right? But like, that's, to me, it's like, there's so many things that inspire me about working with this population. And that's like the richness of it. And that's the thing I want everybody to learn. That's why I post a lot about Warren's stuff, is because like, he's a stud. He's a cute old man, but like, he fucking works and he gets it and he never complains. And that's like the most inspiring thing.
So what we're talking about here is perspective, right? It's like, that's a perspective that he's given you. And I think everybody listening is nodding along, knows what you're talking about. You didn't say something that everyone knows, you know, whether it's, you know, it's carpe diem or it's memento mori, or it's like, you know, like all of these things that are meant to remind you that life is finite, you know, and that's a perspective. And to connect with that perspective is powerful, and probably helps. I would 100% agree that when we're talking about things you can do to improve your relationship with your body and fitness, this perspective of I'm going to be dead one day, or, you know, like whatever, like all of those, just whatever, that sort of, that there's more important things in life. Like, that perspective is, if you can connect with it, going to really help, I believe, mental health and relationship with body and fitness. What? Mm-hmm. You work with elderly clients. You work very closely. Warren's your boy. He's running you ragged, you know, but like, how do you specifically help your clients with this? And how can the listener, not everyone's working part-time with elderly, how can somebody gain that perspective in their own life? And how might you help clients do that?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And, you know, I like that you I like how you phrase your question, because you're able to like, all right, that's a great lesson. I think a lot of people hear that, but it's also like, what's tangible, right? What's practical, right? And I think that's important. And I think it all starts with setting the right expectations and setting your priorities from the get-go, right? And that's, and when I message you, like what I've been recently inspired to talk about, it's because I think just when I've been onboarding clients, like that's like the biggest thing I want to talk about with them, because everybody sees this end goal that they're trying to get to, and they think that's like, you immediately start, that's where you start. And like, you should be doing those end goal at workouts, should be doing those end goal nutritional approaches, all these things. But like, you need to assess where you're at right now, because want you, and just from you and I talking, like our wants and needs have changed in just 1 to 2 years, right? So the person really needs to start creating awareness, right? And you do that by like understanding what your priorities are, right? So that's why I say, like when I'm talking to a client, it's like, hey, like what do you want right now in short term, right? And maybe it is fat loss, maybe it is building a better relationship with food, maybe it is building muscle, whatever it might be. But then you talk about all these goals and you ask why. I think why is the most underutilized question that nobody fucking answers, right? Like anytime you ask somebody why they want something, like you always get like a pause, right? Because it's just something they've never sat with, right? Most people don't sit with that why because they're scared of what's on the other side of that why. Yep. Question, sir?
Yeah, question. If I may. So I'm only going to, 1 second. So you said most people don't sit with that. I think most people don't sit with anything. I think the act of so in vogue right now to say, make space for this, like have a space, hold space for this. Like, but the actual, like, do you have a thing in your life, mm-hmm. whether it's an appointment with a therapist or a mindfulness practice, like journaling, a thing you can tell me right now, a something you carve out where you are introspective and where you sit with things and you aren't necessarily in the moment. You're like taking a step back, looking big picture, looking backwards, looking forwards. But I tell my therapist every week that like, I don't, like, if not for you, I've tried other forms of introspection, journaling and in different iterations of that, long form, short form. And I'm like, it hasn't worked out wonderfully for me, but having this hour that I block out here has helped so much, because otherwise I would not, like, being introspective, taking a step back, making that space, not intuitive for me. It wasn't something I grew up with being taught and so what kind of you're saying is like, well, we need to do that sometimes. We have to take a step back and create that space and be introspective and be mindful and look back and just look at things on a bigger picture. And I think that the first step is the intent to make space for that in some form of a habit, you know?
Yeah. No, and again, I could tell you've been to therapy, my man, because I think it is something where, and I, again, from my own personal journey, that's where I was at. I never sat with my thoughts. I never sat and let myself feel. I was always on to the next, keeping busy, trying to avoid. Exercise was my biggest avoidance, right? And I think that is, I mean, it is vogue, right? People are like, oh, sit with yourself, all that. But what the fuck does that look like, right? Like, it's like, and I'll tell you, because Mister, I've had panic attacks. I've woken up in the middle of the night with panic attacks, right? It took me hitting rock bottom to finally sit with myself. And it took me going to therapy to learn those skills. And honestly, one of the biggest things I do is meditation. And I think that's the scariest thing for people, is to actually feel and hear and allow that space to know what's going on in your head. Because we're so scared of what's, like I said, what's on the other side, or even just what's, like, our heads are just beehives. That's why, like, I have clients who are like, I can't sleep at night, right? And I wake up in the middle of the night, or like as soon as I lay in bed, all my thoughts start like buzzing around, and like I'm just like, it's because it's the first time all fucking day you sat in silence, you've sat by yourself. Of course, that's like, your brain's like, great, this is our time, we got this appointment, sweet. Like, and that's what's going on. It's like, so something you could, and here's tangible stuff, right? Like some things that I started to do when I first was really trying to create this space for ourselves, right? Is one, I started journaling. again, everything I say is not going to be for everybody, but you have to fucking try. That's the most important part, because I hate when people are like, oh, I tried meditation once, it wasn't for me. I'm like, it's just like working out, my man. Like, you have, it's a muscle that you have to train. And I guarantee if someone meditates for the first time, they're gonna be like, I couldn't sit still, or like my mind was racing. It's like, good. That's what happens. This is the expectation you need to set. As soon as you sit with yourself for 5 fucking minutes, your head is going to feel like a fucking beehive. You're going to have things, thoughts you've had 10 years ago that's coming out, right? You might cry. Like, things might happen. So that's what we have to do. Like, journaling is great because you can get those thoughts out. And people are like, what do I journal about? You can literally start with just recounting your day, giving a summary of how your day was, you know, what you see in front of you, right? Maybe what you feel like, you know, a lot of what they talk about with like somatic therapy is like, hey, like, let's address like what your actual physical symptoms when you're feeling this anxiety, right? Because I think when you're able to start identifying that, it's like, oh, like, I feel chest tightness. I feel butterflies in my stomach, right? So journaling, like meditation, like those are things that help me a lot. Walking, like, I think if you're scared of just sitting still, if you're kind of like, I'm an overactive person, I need to move, then go for a walk. Don't bring your phone. Don't put your headphones on. I went to a monastery retreat like about a month ago, and I learned from some monks, which was probably, it was one of the most beautiful experiences I ever did. And we started with mindfulness walking, right? And it was so cool because they're just like, all right, like, don't walk as if you're trying to beat the earth with your feet. They're like, be gentle with your footsteps, right? Like, treat the earth kindly. And then one of the monks said, like, I know I'm not being mindful on my walk if I can't hear the birds, right? And for me, that was like, oh, that's a very tangible thing, because it's like, oh, I'm in my head too much. I need to like get outside of it and focus on like, what do I hear? What do I see? What do I smell? What do I feel? So you can get to that place just from a walk, right? And from some, that might be like where you start, right? If we're talking about regressions or like, you know, modifications, like mindfulness walking would be absolutely amazing. You could do it while you're eating food, right? Same thing at that retreat. The first 5 minutes of our meal was the most awkward fucking 5 minutes of my life, because it was a silent eating period and we did not say anything. Nobody had their phones out. And I'm eating this pho, and I'm just like, I felt so awkward because for the first time in my life, there was no TV, there was no phone, I wasn't trying to talk to anybody, and it was silent. There were no distractions. And I'm like, and then 3 minutes later, when I'm realizing, oh, like I could get the salt out, right? I could taste the salt. I could taste the vegetables. Like, this tastes kind of earthly, right? Like, you start to be more like the chewing, the texture, right? Like, so mindful eating is another thing that you could do immediately, right? And it only takes a few minutes. And I think it's so funny, because I had a client, she's training for a triathlon, and same thing, like, this was one of the hard things for her. I go, isn't it fucking crazy that you would rather run 10 miles than sit with yourself for 2 minutes? I go, that blows my fucking mind, because I hate running. You tell me to run 10 miles. Okay. It's going to be the most miserable like moment of my life. But you tell someone to sit with themselves for 2 to 3 minutes, they get the most anxiety. They get the most resistance for it. They're like, what? Like 2 to 3 minutes. Like, so that's what we have to realize, is that's the place where most of us are when we're starting, is that resistance to sitting with ourselves for 2 to 3 minutes. But that's going to make the biggest difference in how you view food, how you view yourself, your body, how you start to process your thoughts, your stress. Like, if you do that, like, you can really make progress, make strides with your emotional eating, with your boredom eating, with your stress eating, like strides just from a few minutes of mindfulness, right? A few minutes of silence, a few minutes of you time without distractions. And I think that's to give, hopefully that tangent was helpful, but I learned a ton just from that one monastery retreat and all that.
Yeah. I mean, we could go down it, and we very well can go down a rabbit hole of just technology. And you said Basically like having a moment of no distractions and I just having a baby girl and just like knowing what it's like for kids today growing up with like the accessibility of entertainment and just like free dopamine is just out of control. And even for me, I mean, I live on my phone, my screen time. If we do quick hashtag screen time check, hashtag reality check, if we're just doing this right now, live exclusive on the pod, daily average at 7 hours, 12 minutes. You know, that's unacceptable, you know, like that's insane. And, and so what I would like to try and do, something I've been trying to do is ask myself, in moments where I'm feeling that subconscious drive to grab my phone is if I really need the phone right now, because there are times the answer is yes, my whole life, my work is on my phone, but like taking my dogs out for the walk first thing in the morning has been a time or like, I honestly don't need my phone. Or if like we go food shopping, me and my wife, I don't need my phone when we go in there. Or I forgot we were doing something the other day. Like, oh, we went into like the OB's office. Yeah. I know like some people are like, oh, you need your phone, emergency. All right, okay, fine. But maybe she has her phone or maybe like, but like, I was like, I don't need my phone right now. And for specifically for me, maybe some other people aren't attached to their phone. I am attached to my phone. It is a problem. Not my problem. But it's it's a thing that I know is like, okay, I could probably move closer to a more mentally healthy level of balance. Do you feel that way? Do you have like a lot of this drive to touch your phone, grab your phone, play on your phone, look at something while you're eating, distraction, you know? And then I'll piggyback with one other thing is that like, I guess sometimes it's also what you're doing. Like sometimes there are net positives on the phone. Like I, one of the best things that's happened for me is I've always been a big soccer player and a big fan, but I never got like involved in it. Like you said, sports, like I want to make new friends. Like I want to have a connection with it that's a little bit deeper. And so I've gotten a little bit more, like I have some friends, we have a group chat, you know, there's a podcast I listen to that I try and be a guest on sometimes, just like a nerdy, like sidebar. But sometimes that have, again, going back to like kind of hobbies, I guess that's something, I guess it does depend what you're doing on your phone. But anyway, I'll circle it back to that. Like, do you see that kind of attachment to technology and inability to like be by ourselves as a societal thing? Is that something you don't have kids right now, but like, is something that you think of like, yeah, like I see kids all the time. That's something I'm, you know, or even parents and adults.
Yeah. I mean, one, to answer your very first question, is it something like I've struggled with for sure. And I think one of the biggest things I've learned through my mental health journey and meditation, all these things is like, I think it's, we can be our worst critics. So like when I hear you say like, oh, it's fucking disgusting, like my phone's, I'm gonna say like, one, you can't judge yourself, right? Because if you're trying to make this change, then if you're kind of, it's like same thing with someone who's trying to lose weight, you can't shit on yourself at the beginning of your opportunity to create this change, right? And sure, it's like, yeah, wow, that's 7 hours. Like I think I've hit that too. And it's like, oh, that's not pleasant. Maybe that's why my mental health is in the shit this week, right? So one, I would say like for anybody who's starting any kind of mental change, is like, don't judge yourself out the process, because then you're going to, you know, quit out of the process very easily. And then the second thing I'll say is like, yes, I think we always probably hear our generation say like, I'm very grateful that we had that moment before phones, because man, that was fucking great, where you're just really just living and you're not even thinking about touching something or anything like that. And I'll also say like there are some very practical and tangible things that I've implemented in my life that have really helped me improve my relationship with my phone. One of them being is when I go to bed, my phone is not in the same room as, I leave it out in my kitchen to charge. Because what would happen for me is I would start scrolling. I'm going through TikTok, going through Instagram. I'm seeing all this content. It makes me anxious as fuck. It makes me cry. It makes me laugh. Like, in my opinion, it's not normal to go through that in a span of 60, 90 seconds, right? Like if we're, especially before bed, where we're really trying to wind down and process everything and let our body get into like a parasympathetic state to go to sleep, right? The other thing too is when I had a partner, she, credit to her, when we were dating, she called me out a lot for my phone use, right? And it made me really, like, I think whenever we're in relationships, that it's, you know, it's a good relationship when that person can call you out on your things you're blinded to, your blind side traits, right? And that for me was my phone use, right? So for me is, I was like, you know what? That's so true. It's like, as much as I hate to hear these things, it's like, it is so true. It's like, I say I love family. I say I love, you know, friendships and, you know, I have all these other purposes in life, and fitness, nutrition facilitate that and give me a house above my head, right? But like, if I'm not in alignment with what I want, then that needs to change, because anytime I'm out of alignment, I feel anxiety, I feel shame, I feel guilt, right? Like all these traits that we're all very familiar with. So what I had to do was set boundaries for myself, right? We're all very familiar with setting boundaries with other people, but I had to set boundaries myself. So whenever I would eat with somebody, or whenever, like even now, if I'm out to dinner with you, my phone's not near me. Right.
It's so common. You want to put out and put it on the table. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh. That one kills
me.
And
I hate it. And I'll tell you right now, if you, whenever I every dinner, I'm calling your ass out, you're putting it away. Because to me, it's like, when I see a phone on the table, it's telling me that this isn't important to you. Like our presence with each other, our conversation doesn't matter, because you're checking or you're looking, or it's just right there and you could be looking. Right. Obviously, we all know emergency, but guess what? There's a fucking vibrate option on your phone that will tell you when it's ringing, right? So it's like, yeah. It's really, agreed. So we have to really go back to like, what is important to me, right? And I love that you said you've been starting to ask yourself, what's my intention when I go to pick up my phone? Because I think it really does start there, right? Like if you could ask yourself, why am I picking this up? Is it out of dopamine? Is it out of habit? Is it out of like, Ryan just messages me saying he destroyed his glutes? Like, cool. But like, does that fucking matter? Because I'm with my daughter right now, who is amazing and beautiful. I'm so proud of my wife. And like, this is the coolest thing ever. Do I want to take myself out of that moment just to see this DM, right? Just to look at my likes or notifications, right? So again, going back to tangible things, you got to set boundaries. So like, whether that's like you're eating dinner, even if it's by yourself, leave your phone away from you. Don't even have it near you, right? Same thing, like have specific places in your home that are phone free zones, right? For me, it's my bedroom, right? It's not coming in the bedroom with me, especially at night. You know, a lot of people, they sit and scroll in the toilet while they're taking a poop. Don't do it. For me, I have a book on my toilet that's like, hey, this is my reminder. You're reading this when you're pooing, right? So it's like, you got to have boundaries set up. And then, like I said, it could be phone free zones. It could be just like when I'm eating, when I'm with somebody, like that phone is not going out. And again, it all stems back to why. Why is this important to me? Is it affecting my mental health in some way? Do I feel like at the end of the day, I didn't even live it? I wasn't even present. And that's my goal with it. Like my biggest regret in life is if I just fucking scroll through it. So what could be insert, whether it's your phone, whatever it might be, like if I'm not present, if I'm not mindful, if I'm not prioritizing what matters to me, then again, I'm not living by my own definition. And just that thought, like, gives me goosebumps. It gives me like butterflies in my stomach. It's like, no, I don't want that fucking life. So you got to set boundaries with these things. And again, I think it's scary. It is scary because we're all so attached to these things. But you know, if you ever had these realizations, if you ever had these thoughts, your intuition, I think all of, like you probably have a very strong intuition. I could just tell, like you're a very intuitive person. Like you can tell when like, I need to be doing this, I'm going to be doing that, right? Even though your mind might be racing a mile a minute, right? You still have a good intuition, a good gut about what's right for you, what's wrong for you. And there's that little voice in your head that's saying, you should be doing this instead, but we're going to scroll instead. Right. So I think it's just more about becoming in tune with your compass and your guiding light. That's kind of like, okay, like this actually is what's going to feel better. Leave my phone here than this. So that's like some tangible stuff that's helped me a ton. And hopefully people can apply that and it's practical.
Yeah. We went, you're like, hopefully that was practical. Insert last 35 minutes of waffling. No, something that's helped me. I know that they'll never listen to this. It's just looking at what I think people can do is, okay, not everyone's working part-time. I want to be respectful of your time. We got, you know, 10, 13 minutes or so.
Right, like I told you, I cut the day. So if it's a, it's more your time, your daddy. Okay. So like, I'm here for as long as you want me.
Like not everyone's got, like gets the perspective of working with Warren, which I think is a blessing. It's awesome. Yeah. Amazing. But there are people in everyone's life that we can look at, you know, there, mm-hmm. you can look up and down and left and right, and you can look up at your parents. You can look down at your children. You can look left and right at your peers, and you will find that perspective. If you look for it, you will find the perspective of looking down and saying, I want to be that person for my child. I want to be that person as a role model. I also want to be around for the things that they will ultimately do in life. You can look up and, you know, I'll say I'm 33, we're a similar age. Our parents are mm-hmm. entering that age, you know, where it's like mm-hmm. the rate of decay really starts to pick up, you know, and you see differences. Like there's a big divergence between people who have been taking care of themselves and people who haven't. And Jenna's family have come over this past weekend and just like observing people and seeing, you know, we go for a walk with the dogs and like, I didn't realize that they might not be able to go for a long walk, you know, like, and that doing our like normal nighttime walk was like too much for them. And it was like, damn, you know, so you, that hit me just watching that. I was like this idea of like, oh, I might at one point in my life not be able to do something that I want to do. But that time ain't now, you know, and I'd like to push that time off as far as possible. So I think you can look up, look down, look left, look right. You can find that perspective in your life. There are people that are giving you signals of, you know, not like, oh, I don't want to end up like that person, but like just give you insight into other reasons to take care of yourself outside of, mm-hmm. I want to have a six pack, not a flying. This is what I always say. This is what I always say is if people, you know, not everyone says this, but like nobody gives a fuck if you have a six pack, comma, mm-hmm. because there can be people that say that that's not true. I'd say comma, nobody worth their salt cares about you having, like, nobody that you should be worrying, no relationship that you should really be worrying about is full of people that care that you have a six pack. Like, that's not mm-hmm. necessarily that sort of fruitful relationship that you really like should be yearning for. But mm-hmm. any take on that, on the idea of kind of looking within your own life and trying to find that perspective, people in your life, situations that you're in?
Yeah. I mean, and it's so funny you say that, because I think one, that's been a theme since I started training geriatric patients. And then two, just like, my own mom, and my mom's probably going to listen to this, so love you, mom. but she's fallen so many times in the last year, and that scares the fuck out of me, dude. Because especially with what I'm doing now, is like, if you fall and you break something, like, you're kind of fucked, right? And I say that in the most respectful way and also fearful way, is because it's so true. Like, statistically, you fall, you break something, your movement's going to decrease. Your way of living is going to decrease. Your mental health is going to decrease, right? And all those things start to decline rapidly, especially as we get older. So one, I feel that. And it's funny because my mom, like I said, she keeps falling. I'm just like, mom, we need to work on your strength stability. So I literally just FaceTimed her Tuesday and I trained her via FaceTime to do a strength workout, because I was just like, I do not want to start flying out now at this age to wipe your ass. I was like, that's not happening. Like, we're making these changes now. So it's like, you, like I said, I look left, I look right, I look up, I look down. Like, I fucking see it all, 'cause that's just my day-to-day life, our day-to-day life. Like, we see it all the time. And again, I think our stories too, like, you kind of had like that bodybuilding background and like that, like, you know, like, work, like trying to get big, trying to build muscles. Like, we all had goals of getting abs one day. My story ended at rock bottom there, because I realized this shit ain't worth it if my mental health's gone, right? So I'll say it this way, is like, some people learn by putting their stove to the fire, you know. Fortunately and unfortunately, that's kind of how I roll, and I'm very aware of that, and I'm okay with that, and I love that, because I take these lessons and I can apply them 10 times harder, knowing I've been through that and knowing that that's not where I want to be again. Right. So I would say that when it comes to making these changes and sort of changing your mindset about, like, I want to just have abs, or I just want to look good, it's like, maybe you do. And maybe that's what you need right now. And that's okay. But if you get to that place where you find out that there's actually something more, I encourage you to listen to that voice. I encourage you to find examples in your life so that you don't spend too much time there. I think that's really important, is don't spend too much time there. Because again, my purpose with coaching and my life is I'm trying to get people to live life sooner. And to me, that's less time spent on your own body and how your abs look, more time spent on the little things in life that we all know. We all know. We've seen fucking Disney movies. We've seen Pixar movies. Like, we know the morals of the story, but when is it going to click for you that that's actually what matters, right? And I pray that nobody gets to their deathbed and then it's like, oh, that's what it was about. So I don't know if I answered your fucking question at all.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I want to
kind of my mindset with it.
I want to end by just rounding this out, because I think it's also, man, there's so many confounders why you and I are sitting here with a little bit of perspective. Don't want to pretend like it's just like this sort of like mansplaining.
No, we're the wise men.
Yeah, there's like mansplaining wise men with all this fucking life experience. And but I wanted to say two things.
Sure.
I don't want to poo-poo people grinding on their fitness and their fitness being really important to them.
Yeah.
Because there's a huge confounder, which is that you and I spent time in that phase, and I can't unlearn and I can't unbenefit from what I benefited from by doing that, mm-hmm. which was, going to an extreme, maybe even gaining the perspective of the downside, also maybe really ingraining fitness and eating vegetables as a habit, you know what I mean? And so we can't disentangle where we are right now from where we've been. So if you're mm-hmm. in a place, I know a lot of people that are really into their fitness right now, and I love that. And I'm happy for you, and that's awesome. And people that are vibing with aesthetic goals, and that's all cool. There's nothing inherently wrong with any of that. I just want to say, I don't want to poo-poo people in their fitness era, you know what I mean? Because fitness is great. It can have knock-on effects, mental health, and improve physical quality of life. It's awesome. And if you're really in it, and you're really, really, truly enjoying it, that's great. And it's easy. I think it's also a little in vogue right now for like people in their like mid-30s who have spent like 10 years with body dysmorphia and orthorexia to be on the other side and kind of righteously give this like, well, there's more to life talk. And then there's people on the other end of that message who have never had it and who want it and are being told you can't want that because, you know, there's more to life. And I just want to validate, affirm, that's cool, man. If you're out there and you're like, hey, I want to get in shape because I'm motivated to see some muscle definition. That's great. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It is about keeping it all in perspective and thinking about, if you keep your North Star as like, how do I live my happiest life? And how does this bake into that? Which it absolutely can. Then I think you can keep your head on straight and you can have a really good relationship with this stuff. But if it becomes the end in and of itself, and it is the only thing, it takes on too much power. Yeah. Honestly, there's a reason I don't do a ton of before and afters with, I just think I personally am triggered by them a little bit. It's just like, it's not, I just want to know more. I want to know more about how this person feels. I had a client come back from like a week. She went home for a week and was like with her family in Jersey and had all this amazing Indian food. And just like, she was like, it's heaven on earth. It's my mom's food. And like, I had no anxiety. And I went for walks because I knew it would make me feel good. It's part of my routine. And I didn't feel the need to like binge or starve myself or go to the gym because I thought I was going to shrivel up into a muscleless raisin or something. And it's like, yeah, that's not really coming across in a before and after. So I know we went down a side tangent, but I just want to affirm, totally cool to have aesthetic goals. You and I are kind of on the other side of some of this extremism. And so we kind of have that perspective. I don't want to poo-poo people in their fitness space, in their fitness era. But if you are in that era where you're like, this is really important to me, I'm super stoked, I'm super in it, just at least hear us and just do that whole take a step back, be introspective, see where this is falling in the hierarchy of importance. See if you do have sort of that North Star of like, okay, but how does ultimately make me happier person, enjoy my life experience more? I think you can do a really great job and you can have kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah. And to just add on a little tail end of that, I think it's, as long as you're aware that there's seasons of life for you, that you'll have seasons of life. So we love the gym and we wanted to look like I still want to look good naked. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, fuck, when I take my clothes off, I want to be like, okay, still got it, baby, still got it. You know, so like that's still a goal of mine. But I think it's like you said, it's all about your perspective. Can you rationalize this? Can you understand that the seasons of life you're in will have extremes in either direction, right? And if you can do that, then you're going to be just fine, right? Like I said, I think that was maybe what where we might have went wrong at first, where it's like we were just focused on this dead end goal. And once we got to it, like I was like, oh, cool. I don't know where to go next, right? So as long as you can rationalize it, understand their seasons of life, then you can have whatever fucking goal you want, right? And I encourage you, like whatever, again, whatever gets you into the gym, whatever gets you eating vegetables, whatever gets you to a healthy place, you can always pivot from there, you know, as long as you are able to rationalize and have an idea of that there's more to this than just the way I look. Awesome. And in the meantime, I'm going to look fucking great naked. I'm going to push my ass to get there. Awesome. You're going to be just fine. Right. I think that's, I agree with you. I think that narrative sometimes gets lost and those people don't get their feelings validated because we do want to look good. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And you don't, it's sometimes it is about your abs. Sometimes it's not. And as long as you can understand that, comprehend it and go from there, you're going to be just fine.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Let's do this. Let's do that wrap up. Let's do that like that whole like tell people where they can find you thing. Can I just tell you, it's been a long time since I've had a guest on the podcast because I love the hosting. I love hosting, but just like baby stuff, I feel like it's been an eternity. And so like I was like, oh yeah, what do I say at the end? I'm like, whatever. Tell people where they can find you. Plug stuff. You know, what else do people do?
Like
55 fries. Yeah. 55 fries. I'm doing something. Oh shit. It's unreal.
So you can find me at Body by Ryan Fitness on Instagram. My podcast is These Little Moments. I did an episode with Jordan, which was amazing. So check that out. Other than that, that's pretty much it. If you go to my Instagram or go to my podcast, you'll find everything else. But I'm grateful to be your first spot, your guest in a while. And I appreciate you taking time off daddy duty. And I encourage you to get back to it as soon as we're done. Go pet your dog Gunner because he's giving you like give me some pets, Dad.
Right? Are you now? You on SoundCloud? What's your SoundCloud? You know you don't drop your SoundCloud on here, dog.
I do have an album on Spotify. Hey! 2015 called The Wheel. Go
no way! Yeah,
yeah. Swear to God, dude. Shit. I'm big on. I don't want any regrets in my life. I'm pursuing whatever my heart tells me. So
nice.
Yeah, there cool is man. An album you can listen to cool during man. Your next workout.
Oh yeah. just ruin a workout. We'll ruin a perfectly good workout. Just
this like, is so sad.
I call you. I'm just like hysterical crying. It's like, what's this guy? What would you say is your genre? Are you like call your ex-girlfriend kind of stuff?
Oh, dude, or
is
it sad like, boy music day.
Yeah. I'm down know? Sad boy tunes.
That's how I process my shit. If I cry during my workout, that's the PR. I'm getting PR.
Oh, yeah. Do you have some famous famous favorite sad boy tunes artists that you're go-to?
Yeah, any Noah Kahan song. If you know Noah Kahan, he's folk pop. Ed Sheeran, give those a listen. You'll probably cry, but you're going to lift. You're going to have a PR on the hack squat that day like I did today from Jordan's workout. Also, go join Jordan's program because it's amazing. It's great. It's efficient. I love the layout of it. He explains everything thoroughly. He's an amazing coach. And so I'm going to plug you because
we're going to edit. I'm going to edit that. I'm going to edit that out
you.
Immediately.
No, you keep this. Be authentic.
Thanks, brother. We'll talk soon.
Of course, man. Yes, sir.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.